I hear the Lord saying to us this morning that that's right, my children, your chains are gone and you have been set free. I have a place for you. I have a place for you here. And I just prepare the way before you for you to come to this place. We thank you, Jesus, for this place that you've made. God, I thank you. I worship you, Jesus. Our chains are gone, and we have been set free. He says his thoughts toward us are good. He has a perfect plan, and he has an expected end for us. And he says that his expected end for us is a place there with him, a place with him. And he has many, many members of our family there that are awaiting, and that there's no place there for pain. And there's no place, he said, there's no place here for pain. There's no place for sorrow. There's no place for emotional discomforts. There's no place here that's got anything that would hinder or hurt. He says, prepare yourself for this place. Draw nigh to me so I can draw nigh to you. I have good thoughts concerning you. I have an expected end. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this place that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Lord, that we're lining our lives up on this path with you. We're going strong into you, Lord Jesus, strong into your presence. We long for you, Lord God, to have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Help us to worship you the way you desire to be worshiped. Help us to live our lives pleasing before you, Lord. Unconditional love like you have, Jesus. We worship you today, Lord.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We glorify you. Lord, we thank you for this word of prophecy that we've just heard. The invitation to come into your presence. The invitation of where we're going. Where you're taking us. Father, I want to thank you quite personally for the day and hour, the time and the season of our church that you brought us together. Never been more grateful, Father, for sound doctrine, for what you're bringing about in us, because I know with every stroke of the brush that you're painting the portrait of revival. Having therefore these promises, Lord, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh. Walk in the integrity of your promises. Stand in the fullness of what you have for us in these last days and proclaim Immokalee is in revival. Father, we give you all the glory. We've never been any closer. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I heard the Lord say, you've never been any closer as a body to receiving the things I've promised than you are present tense. Even at times where you felt that you were close to something, even at times where there seemed to be more emotion among more, but emotion does not bring about my outpouring, saith the Spirit of grace. The truth and the integrity of my word in you working its work is the fullness of my spirit to bring about what I have promised. For I have promised that in the last days this gospel would be preached. The one that my son, my firstborn, preached and demonstrated with signs and wonders and miracles. And though at times it seems as if things have slowed to a crawl and the crowds wane, because of the truth that has been built in you and the fortress of my sayings that are being done among many, not all, but many, there is an edifice being built in this place that is closer to the things that you desire than ever before, saith the Spirit of grace. Continue to stand. Continue to stand. For it is closer than what you realize. The winds are blowing. The strength is coming from out of my spirit to encourage you to stand and to continue to stand. For close is the revival and close is the outpouring, saith the Spirit of grace. Close is the shaking that I will bring to this area of Florida. And many will come from all places, as I prophesied through my servants from the beginning. Many will come and some will stay to help out in the revival, but many will come and partake and drink of your water, of your cistern. Stay in this place, saith the Spirit of grace, for I'm raising you up, and you've never been more closer than you are right now, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We bless you, Jesus. Candy, that thing that you were sharing with me just then, it was so simple, but it was so wonderful. So
I was thinking while Bronk was given that that prophecy, toward the end of it, I began to think about how the Lord, in Him being timeless, and He's, you know, from the very beginning, He's the beginning and the end, and even in our lives, He's the beginning of our lives, the end of our lives. But it was just amazing to me, and I know He's here with us in the moment. Every time we come before Him, wherever we're at, He's there in the moment with us. But it just hit me a little bit stronger this morning that while we were singing that song, "My Chains Are Gone," I began to think about how that He said to me, "Yes, your chains are gone." I'm thinking, God, you hear me. You hear us. At this very moment, He's responding to that song that we're singing at this moment. And it blessed me so much. And I know that already. But at that moment, it just really hit me that He really is hearing us. And He's really hearing us when we worship Him. So if He's hearing us when we're worshiping Him, He's hearing us when we're asking Him or giving the commands.
That's right.
Whatever we're doing before Him, He really does hear us. And
yes.
That just hit me this morning,
yes.
Even stronger.
Thank you. So good. Thanks, honey. Hallelujah. In the last year or so, Gary Carpenter had a vision when he was teaching, and he said the Lord, it was basically almost an open vision. I'd have to check with him to know if it was internal, external, like you were just looking. It seemed like it was almost external. But the Lord, while he was teaching, come over out of this side of the room, I believe, walked over and put his finger on the word and said, "I want to be believed." Believed. You know, there's all of us were fine this morning, but there's a shroud around your mind and around my mind, and that shroud is the flesh. And every once in a while, we peep through. We just get like a little glimpse of the reality of God. And so we're sitting here in faith, believing in something we cannot see. But every once in a while, that shroud drops, the screen drops for just a little bit. And when it does, it shocks us the reality that He really is that He really is alive, that there really is a being that we're serving, and that He really is hearing us. And I just wish to goodness, but it would cause chaos because we'd get our minds. I wish that the angels, some of them that are standing here along up here with me, at times would appear, or just so that shroud would drop just for a little bit. Because it's a reality. It's just a reality. That spirit world is so real. And we're going to see that more and more in the days ahead. I was casting out a devil one time, and this person was looking at me. I was in that office in there. I was casting the devil out. And I spoke to it a little bit more longer than I should have, because you don't have to mess with them too much. But this person was just looking up behind me. And I knew what they were looking at. They were like scared to pieces. And I said, "You're looking at." I said, "What are you looking at?" "You're looking." And he said, "I'm looking at an angel." And I knew he was. I mean, the Lord had already told me. He said, there's two of them standing right behind you. Right behind. Well, praise the Lord for his power, the reality. We worship you, Jesus. We give all the glory and praise to God. You know, this revival, it's not going to be sensational. It's just going to be the reality of the kingdom. Amen. It's going to be so wonderful. For those of you that give online, I send a letter out each month. I'll probably start maybe in the future sending it to you. At this point in time, I better wait on my promises. I tell you each week how appreciative I am. And I can tell you the winds of revival are among us. We're closer. I'm just going off of what the Holy Spirit said a moment ago. We're closer than we've ever been before. And I appreciate those of you that take it seriously in your giving, because the angels do not bring the money. And it doesn't, we've never had a corporate sponsor like, you know, Procter & Gamble has never written us a big check or anything. It comes through you and it comes through them. So again, I want to thank you. I know I'm prefacing that, ask or believing with you that your generosity will continue. Some of you give in lumps and then it's a while because you're waiting on God. I just thank you for it. Just continue to believe for your lumps. Hallelujah. Some of you give weekly. I appreciate that. I don't know what we would, well, we would make it. It would, but it's important that you're hearing God and that we're hearing God, all of us together. And I appreciate that. Hallelujah. If there wasn't any reason why I'd want to make more money, if somebody said, well, all my needs are met, if there was any reason why I would want to make more money, it'd be able to give more. Hallelujah. And we give outside of ourselves corporately. Most of the major ministries that you all love, we give, this church gives on a monthly basis. Now, I'm not telling you that to say, well, I was, like if you think, well, I was given to them too, if we're going to give through the church, I'm not going to do, don't you stop giving. You individually give, amen. But we give also to many of these ministries that we appreciate, and it's through your giving that we can do this corporately, amen. But you keep giving to them individually as you hear from the Lord. Amen. So the buck never stops with us. That's one thing about Christianity. If you're the end, then I've got men over me. There's two or three men that I look at, and I've got them. They're my pastors. The money that comes in here doesn't just stop here. We keep trying to give it out in certain places. So hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray and... I'm going to ask you to ask God what you have to give this morning. And those of you who are watching, thank you so much for being a part of the giving to this ministry. Father, we bless you. We ask you to continue to, Lord, we don't have to just ask you this. We're just going to speak this because this is just like a directive of concerning healing. Your word says that you supply and meet all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the need of the individual is met so that the individual then can take out of their life, separate the pound from the provision, and know what God has orchestrated, ordained for giving. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to receive what you have through your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. So if you'll get ready, if you need an offering envelope, there should be one. Marty's going to give us something. Amen. And the offering baskets are up here. Let's all stand together. If you have something this morning, or if you give online, thank you for giving online. But you can bring it forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're good on time. And just want to check because we're going to really cover some material this morning. And a lot of it I'll be just reading from my notes. That way I'll stay on point. But I believe that we will receive more on Prayer 101 is the series. And this morning, we are going to be sharing why we pray in tongues, some of the reasons. We're not going to get to all of them today because there's a number of different reasons why we pray in tongues. And but this morning, we're going to talk about two of the reasons just for a little bit, the power and mortification. And I believe that you're going to receive something very powerful before this day is over. So let's just pray again. And you agree with me, just in agreement. Pastor Dave used to say, stretch your faith this way. But Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for this opportunity to go into your presence again, into your word, take one more step into the proposition of revival, that it's more than just a probability, it's an exactness, we know. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I thank you, Lord, for the day and hour that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and all those wonderful things that we ascribe to revival. But Lord, the journey into revival is just as precious as the revival itself. The journey into your word that is dictating our future. The destiny that we have in front of us will be fulfilled by that which you ascribe to us through and by your word. I thank you that your word is truth, and I thank you for the teacher, the Holy Spirit. And I give you all the praise and glory. I receive that grace this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So while we pray in tongues and the power and mortification we're going to discuss, what did we forget last week? Can somebody tell me? Yes. We did not ask that anybody needed to be baptized in the Spirit. We're going to pray for people to be baptized in the Spirit, even if there is nobody here, because we're going to speak to the camera. And we're going to do this. This is an instruction last week. So I'm looking around. There might not be anybody, but there very well could be. Hallelujah. We're just going to obey God. Amen. That's the main thing, just to obey God. So Homer did an excellent job Wednesday night. Very, very powerful. The Lord has really been showing him a lot of wonderful things, and I just love to talk to him because I always get edified and listen and take notes when he is teaching. Hallelujah. Let me read something to you. I know you'll recognize where it's from. This is, I don't know if you've ever seen this book. Most of you have. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Hallelujah. And it's by my pastor, Pastor Dave Roberson. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read the introduction to you this morning, and then the first prophecy that goes along with it. He said when he wrote this, and this is what he penned himself, "The past few years have been some of the greatest years of my life. I've been in the ministry more than 25 years, now that's obviously increased now, and have had many wonderful encounters with the Lord. But I can truthfully say that the revelation knowledge of God has imparted to me in these last few years has completely changed my life, taking me to a place in God I had never before imagined. However, you can't put up walls where there is no foundation, and you can't add a roof where there is no walls. The life-changing truths God has been showing me couldn't have been added to my life had not a strong foundation of the Word been built inside of me, line on line, precept upon precept, through many hours and many years of praying in tongues while meditating on the Scriptures. I know now more than ever before that praying in tongues is the revelation gift that helped me, that helped lay a scriptural foundation in my life. God was getting me ready for an awesome eternal truths He is now pouring into my spirit in preparation for the days to come. He is using the culmination of all those years of praying in tongues to open up to me a whole new realm of understanding in Christ. The very measure of God's power in a believer's life is departed on how much of his life is ordered by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, from the very beginning, the primary message of this ministry has been praying in tongues. Over the decades, the Lord has imparted a wealth of revelation knowledge to my spirit on this subject. Step by step, He has taught me how to walk out of a life dominated by the flesh into a new life dominated by the Holy Spirit through the matchless gift of praying in my heavenly prayer language. In 1997, the Lord spoke strongly to my spirit, saying, "This message on tongues has come to maturity." At first, I thought God meant the message had come to maturity in me. Later, I came to understand that He wasn't just talking about me in particular at all. He was saying that the time had come to share in a broader measure the revelation knowledge He had given to me over the years regarding praying in tongues. The message had come to maturity for the body of Christ. The Lord has commissioned me to teach believers how to live a life of power as they walk in the Spirit, always building on the foundation of the Word and praying in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. This book is written out of my desire to be faithful to that divine commission. I have not only taught the truths contained in this book for many years, I have also pursued them with all my heart in my own personal walk with God. So believe me when I tell you this, as you read this book and diligently apply its principles, the day will come when you look back on your life and say in awe and wonder, I am not the same person. I have learned to walk in the Spirit, and it has completely changed my life forever. Now I want to read this little prophecy that came along with the first introduction. For in my spirit is the depth of wisdom, that by my spirit you may glean, saith the Spirit of grace. For these things are hidden in a mystery. Oh, I have made these mysteries available to those who are in the church of my grace. Learn how to stay in my presence. Learn how to stay on your face. And I will open up treasures hidden in a field. And you will see, saith the Spirit of grace, and even the devil will have to give place. Hallelujah. I have read this book more than once. I think by reading the introduction, I think it's time for me to read it again. Hallelujah. This is a tremendous, this book changed my life along with, of course, the Word of God. But that's also, I'll just to give advertisement to it, let me give this advertisement. Listen to these chapters of what this covers. Chapter 1, the Holy Spirit's work within. Next chapter, my personal journey to revelation knowledge, spiritual gifts and operations, diversities of tongues in God's government, the four basic diversities of tongues, Paul's source of revelation, praying out the mysteries of God's plan, the channel through which the Holy Spirit speaks, the edification process, purging and mortification, overcoming impasses in prayer, purging to stand in the gap, praying and fasting, the two power twins, how to effectively pray in tongues, the divine process to agape love. Hallelujah. Man, that's powerful. That's some powerful stuff. And so I think it's time for me to read it again. But I remember Miss Gay saying that when Marty put this book in her hand 20-something years ago, I guess it's probably been, she said, she read the introduction. That's it. That's what we've been looking for. And then they followed this book to this church. Hallelujah. Recently, I learned that a friend of Robert's, Bailey, had she's been coming. She wasn't yet filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was really looking forward to getting the opportunity to pray for her today, since we're praying on our teaching on. But I understand that because of the teaching and the understanding that Robert and her have been talking over the last month. This past Thursday, she just went into her bedroom and into her prayer closet and received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues herself. Hallelujah. And just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I thought to myself, Bailey, you're taking away my job. I'm going to feel like the Maytag repairman here. So hallelujah. But I want you to be able to, I told Bailey I had a book for her. I'm going off camera. There you go, Bailey. That's one that'll change your life, along with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have Pastor Dave's book, I would encourage you to read it again. Valuable truths. Well, Pastor Bronk, do you have one that I can? Nope. Sorry. They're as scarce as they call hen's teeth. And you can go online and read it PDF right off of his website. And you might be able to contact their ministry, and they may be able to send you some books. But I have to reserve whatever I've got left for people just like Bailey. Amen? So praise the Lord. If you haven't read it, we may have a library book, one that you could bring back to somebody else and do it like that. I don't know. Hallelujah. But it is worth reading. Praise the Lord. In the early days, we just passed them out like tracts. We just passed them out, and we sowed a lot of seed to the wind, in which we want to, now we understand if you're really hungry, you really want doctrine, really, 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 you, okay, beg for this, okay, beg, 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 okay, jump up, no, okay, hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. We're looking into the subject of prayer. That's where we started last week, this prayer 101. Number one, I will say this, for as a reminder to those who have already have an understanding in this area. And number two, because it never hurts to be reminded of how important it is to pray. And number two, for those who are just learning the process of enduring prayer. Enduring prayer. I'm not talking about a flippant prayer. I'm not talking about just, one off the top of your head. I have to be careful with this because I don't want to put myself on a pedestal. I hope that this gleans something inside of you, that somehow it's a mark inside of you. But when somebody asks me to pray, and everybody, well, I'll pray for that, I'll pray for that, I'll pray for that. You'll talk to somebody you don't even know, and they say something, and they say, well, I'll pray for that. You don't pray. You forget. Or if you do pray, it's like, just before I'm going to sleep, God, help them. God, help them. God, help them. What kind of prayer is God, help them? I don't consent to praying for people real quick. Because if I tell a person I'm going to pray for them, in my estimation, it's like the Supreme Court will hear you now. And I'm not elevating myself, but I'm saying when I receive a prayer request and I say, okay, I'll take that to the Lord. Well, what about everybody else? Well, listen, that's where a lot of that tongues come in, because I can't cover the face of the earth. And the other thing is to teach people to pray for themselves. But if I receive something, if I say I'm going to pray for it, you can bet it's usually not the kind of prayer that most of your friends tell you. It's not as I'm going to sleep. It's not as I'm, lifting weights. exhausted, out of breath. And I pray all the time doing that too. But if I've got, if you put a petition, you say, Pastor, will you pray? You've got some quality prayer going on for you. Hallelujah. See, one reason why there's no power in the church, nobody respects the power. Because I'll pray for you so flippant. It's just so flippant. It's just like prayer is something of a reality. Like Candy was sharing this morning, there's a real God. And our communication to Him and our prayer time to Him and our asking and our receiving, and we're establishing the different prayers. Yes, there are prayers for asking. There's many prayers for asking. There's petitional prayers. There's the prayer that we talked about last week. It's kind of in the prayer category because we're communicating, but we're communicating against diseases. For God's sake, you never ask God. I mean, the silliest thing that you can ever do is to ask God to heal you. God, will you heal this person? You've already started the prayer off in unbelief. You've already started. You're on the wrong foot right to start with. You're not really getting too far with that because He's already, what He wants you to do is act like Jesus and cast it out. Just send it on its way. Well, I didn't know that before, but well, He loves you and He'll help you, but here's where knowledge is increasing. We don't stay ignorant. Okay, we learn. Praise God. And that's through the Holy Spirit. Well, I had the best intentions. Wonderful. I bet you did. But let's take our intentions to knowledge. Let's combine it with knowledge and get the job done. Hallelujah. My desire is to invoke in you a desire to pray, pray, pray until you can't pray no more. Hallelujah. To pray in your prayer closet and pray as you go down the road. And to pray as you're working, to pray as you're doing whatever you're doing, to pray continually. Hallelujah. Prayer is a habit. You have to develop a habit. Praying in tongues is a habit. You have to systematically get yourself in the habit, and after a while, you'll be doing it when you don't know you're doing it. Amen? Okay. So that was, I know you're listening. That's good. But I hope that numerical amount of amens was not a consensus of how many really are doing it. Okay. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is kind of the jumping off place of, I could say the foundation verse probably is the best way to say it of this particular series. Ephesians 6:18, you're turning in your Bibles or your iPads or your smart device. Hallelujah. Okay. Look at 18 says, Paul says, praying always, that means at all times, with all prayer, that's all kinds of prayer, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. The Amplified says this, same verse, pray at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. There's different kinds. We're going to go over those different kinds. But this morning, we're talking about our favorite, which is praying in tongues. I have to say that. That's got to be our favorite. To that end, keep alert, the Bible says, watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So pray at all times with all types of prayer. Okay? Well, how do I know which type of prayer? Well, that's what we're teaching on. And if the Holy Spirit ever becomes your best friend, He will teach you along with the Word of God. You'll grow in the knowledge of the Lord. We're starting with our favorite kind of prayer, which is praying in tongues or baptism in the Spirit. Now I'm going to say some kind of real kind of sounds kind of ABC 1-2-3 or redundant in the knowledge of where many of you are at. To pray in tongues, you must first be born again and then filled or baptized. And then as a result of the baptism, sometimes people equivocate the tongue as the baptism. The tongue is the gift of the Holy Ghost. The baptism is the Holy Ghost. It's they're really kind of inseparable, but if you want to put them in a microscopic and look into the depth of it, it's you're baptized, and as a result of your baptism, you're giving the gift of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And that's the right way to think of it and say it. To pray in tongues, you must be, of course, born again. It is not our objective at this moment or during this teaching right now to prove that the born-again experience and the baptism of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit are two separate works of grace, and of course they are. They're separate. That's where you'll get a lot of really wonderful fundamentalist, just good people that are born again but don't necessarily believe or they don't practice praying in tongues, and they'll tell you, a lot of them will tell you, well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I got born again. Not really. You got a new nature. You got God on the inside of you in that you've got the nature of Christ. Are you going to heaven? Absolutely so. Can you live above sin? Absolutely so. But is there a second work of grace? Absolutely so. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's also not our objective at this moment to prove that it's God's perfect will for everybody to pray in tongues. Every single born-again believer should have the gift of praying in other tongues. A lot of people that believe in it will say, I believe in it, but I don't know that it's for everybody. But we can prove through Scripture, that's not our objective this morning. We'll probably go over it at some point over the next several weeks. I don't know, but it's not our objective this morning to prove that. But it is God's will for everyone to speak in tongues. The act of regeneration and the baptism are so closely related, though, in Scripture. I mean, this sandwich is so tight. They're so closely related in Scripture that it's obvious that God intended that these to be simultaneous. In other words, you're born again, Spirit-filled, now. I mean today, as soon as possible. Do not pass go. Get it done to now. You know, get things done now. We're going to give that illustration just out of the Word of God. So let's go to Acts chapter 10, and I'll show that to you, how close these two works of grace really are, because we want to talk about praying in tongues later and how the Holy Spirit has an effect specifically on the mortification of our body and our stand against sin. So Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now we're not going to read through this chapter, there's too much, but I'll just let you know that there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Well, I like this guy. He's a prayer guy, even though he's not yet born again at that point. So now you can look up for a moment, because then we'll go back into 10 in just a moment. This is Cornelius. The whole story in a synopsis, because he's a prayer man and he's seeking God, and an angel appears to him in a vision, tells him to send to Joppa, that there is Simon Peter, who is at Simon the Tanner, I believe. I can't remember. I think I read through that again yesterday. But anyway, he's at this guy's house. He's a tanner. In other words, he tans hides, and he lives alongside the lake there, the seaside. And so this whole thing is, these men go, and they don't know Peter, and these men are Romans. He's a centurion. Now, quickly, I'll just tell you this, not for fact purposes, just so you can enjoy what we're about to read, is that a centurion was over 100 men. He had about 80 legionnaires, foot soldiers, and about 20 household servants, people that kind of just did, you know, do what I, you know, tell you to do, go blah, 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 blah. And that kind of helps us understand what the centurion said to Jesus. That's not the same centurion, but he said, when I say go, come, they come and go. And he would do that. He could do that to any of his soldiers, to the legionnaires, but he could also primarily, I read a number of different places, and they said, the couple of them said the same thing, that there was about 20 people that would usually be ascribed to these centurions, that they could just, you know, lived in their house, because these men were, they were paid real well by the Roman government. So this guy here, he's a Roman, he's a Gentile, he sends for Peter. Peter gets a vision simultaneously as these men are coming, and this takes a few days to take place. And the whole thing about the sheet coming down, all the creeper creatures and all that stuff, and God says kill and eat, and he's all doing all that for an illustration to say, what I've sanctified, Peter, I know that you still believe that the Gentiles can't be saved, but I can sanctify any and everybody through the blood of my Son. And I'm showing you this illustration, and because Peter would say every time this sheet would be let down, three times it was, and he said, no, Lord, because he says, kill it and eat it, Peter. And he basically was arguing with God, I've never eat any of this stuff, you know. And God said, this stuff now is clean, and what he's saying is the Gentiles are clean through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So these men show up, they go back to Cornelius' house over a day's journey. These guys stay the one night, go the next day. And so we pick it up in verse 38. This is where Peter comes into this house of Cornelius, and we skipped a lot of verses here. And you got to understand that he, one part here, I don't know if it's in what I've got copied here, but he invited all of his friends and his kinsmen. And so I hope you don't, first of all, this guy probably had an immaculate house, a big house. I can see these Roman columns, you know, just really nice. Maybe they're in a garden area, but I hope you don't think that there was five or six people there. I'm thinking the man probably had more there than they had on the day of Pentecost. I mean, they probably had a couple hundred people in there waiting to hear this guy's coming. They've already been told, they already got some knowledge, they've already been told, this guy is going to come, and when he gets here, he's going to tell us how to be saved, or he's going to tell us the words of life. And we know, because we respect Cornelius, and he said he had a vision, he saw an angel, and the angel told him to send for this guy, because this guy knows what to tell us. So we pick it up. This is Peter actually standing there talking to them in verse 38. And God, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, he's into this sermon now. Peter's into this sermon. He's talking to all of them. He says, he anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God has raised the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which it was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. He's preaching repent, remission of sins. And while he's doing this, I love this. I mean, the Holy Ghost just blows Peter's service to pieces. Hallelujah. Peter has no control over his services. God help us to have... that Bronc Flint has no control. The right, not chaos according to the flesh, but no control like this. And while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Look at that. That's a testimony right there. The whole crowd, that's a confirmation that it's God's will for everybody. Can you imagine a preacher preaching and everybody in the service was prior to not filled with the Holy Ghost. And while he's preaching, everybody, it said all of them, all means all. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which heard, that's the ones that came with Peter, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with, and somebody said, well, okay, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I love it the way that Luke records this, because he gets real specific. I'm not just talking about the baptism, and you want to say that it was along with their salvation. He says here, they spoke with tongues. Tongues. Let's get real specific, Luke, and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, here's what's really cool. The neat thing is the simultaneous how quickly and how instantaneously there was no, you know, we've got it in our minds, this cookie cutter thing. Obviously, they had to be born again first, but the born again and the baptism, there was no altar call. It was like, and they, you know, we want to do, okay, here's an altar call, lead you through the sinner's prayer, then we're going to train you to get baptized in water. So we're going to baptize you next month, and you're going to get baptized, and then you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And while he was preaching repentance, and nobody had even said the sinner's prayer out loud, like, can we pray the sinner's prayer? They just in their hearts received that word, and they were repenting, obviously. That's like, we believe what he's telling us. He's been talking to us. And while they're sitting there mesmerized, bug-eyed, and looking into what this man's telling them about this man that came, died, resurrected, and now is the repentance back into or to God, all of a sudden, all of them just start speaking in tongues. That's what we just read. That's awesome. Peter didn't say, you know, wait a minute, we're supposed to have a prayer line. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to teach you on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to teach you on the baptism of the water. It's just bam, that's power. And that's where we're headed, praise the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, the gift of tongues was the first thing that Jesus wanted for his disciples. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1. We're going through this systematically. Some people have never heard this. Some people have heard it only a few times. It's very, very important, because we're also going to pray at the end of this service for people that are watching and people that are here that need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. This was the first thing that Jesus wanted for his disciples. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then in verse 8, skipping down a few verses, but you will receive or shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall receive, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world, into Immokalee and to wherever, hallelujah, you'll be. But listen, we've already proved a few weeks ago, we showed you through a couple of scriptures where that what we just read and what Luke recorded here and what Mark recorded in chapter 16, what is called the Great Commission, those that was done and said at the exact same time. That was simultaneously said in one end, like I'm about to go away. And we showed you that verses, the verses that prove that. The power that was to come upon them, when Jesus said you will receive power, the power that was to come upon them was not the power of the new nature. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus basically was saying this, don't do anything until you're filled. Don't evangelize. Don't write doctrine. Don't preach. Don't pray for the sick. We said, Pastor, they were already praying for the sick. I know they had been praying under Jesus' mantle. Now he's gone. Now they're in that sliver of time where now they got to get their own, and it's not going to be a mantle anymore. It's going to be innate. Innate. In other words, inside. It's going to be their own. It's going to be their own power. So don't evangelize. Please don't tell any. Please don't go out and get. Peter did the only thing I think that was outside of the intention of God when he wanted everybody to, before they got filled, he wanted everybody to cast lots. And okay, Peter, hallelujah. You're good. You know, after that, you never find in the New Testament that they ever cast lots. It was always separate. You know, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit said, the leadership of the Spirit, blah, 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 on and on and on. Hallelujah. Remember, the new nature does not, why did they need the power? The new nature does not raise the dead of its own power. I'll say that again. The new nature does not raise the dead. What you've got inside of you that raised you from the spiritual dead, that doesn't in and of itself, that's yours, okay? That's yours to live above sin. That's yours to walk in truth. It's the receptacle of truth. It can receive truth taught by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. But that new nature does not raise the dead, okay? It does not raise the dead. It is the Holy Ghost working in you and through your new nature that raises the dead. How important is that? How important? The baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying with other tongues is for external, listen to this, and internal purposes. Two things. Everybody still with me? Everybody say this. For internal and external purposes. Thank you. Externally, it is for the power and the demonstration of the gospel. Okay? Do you ever notice why Jesus didn't say you were, he didn't say, and I've said this a few times recently, he didn't say go tarry and wait because you'll receive power to not sin anymore. That wasn't the main objective. That wasn't the objective at all. This power is externally. They were already receiving by the witness of the born-again nature. See, the disciples were, they were born again in that upper room. I don't know if it's the same upper room they used for the baptism. When Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, so, then he says, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. There was like several days before, from that time to the time that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you think that the disciples told every single one of them, don't you think that Peter, James, and John, and all of them told the rest, those 120, receive what we've got? Jesus breathed on us. We've got a new nature. Receive it. I don't know if they had all the terminology that they later were taught by the Holy Spirit, but they knew something had happened. So that 120 is sitting there waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Are y'all excited? We're going to receive an outpouring. Externally, I should say, it is for the power and demonstration of the gospel. Internally, it is for the aid of the Christian to be conformed to the image of Christ. Acts 2:1 says this. You're right there. Look at it with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. I tell you what, folks, you've got fire on the inside of you. You've got fire if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Your new nature is not related to fire, but the Holy Ghost has baptized your new nature with fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and I am fired up. Glory to God. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Immediately after that, bam, immediately after that, they began to evangelize and do miracles after that. The power flow of the baptism through the individual was the utterance of other tongues. Baptism, fire, but the flow that came through them was the utterance of other tongues. Praying in tongues prepares us for our ministry to the world and to our fellow Christians as we minister life to them and healing and those kinds of things. When we pray in tongues, we are setting up a power flow of edification to our spirit. This power flow is the internal equipping for the external ministry. Okay? Just a verse on that, and we're not going to teach on that verse today. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Edify means to build up. You're building up your spirit through the edifice, or the edifice of your spirit is being built up through the process of praying in tongues. That's the power flow, okay? Praying in tongues for mortification. So we're going to switch a little bit here, and we're going to talk about mortification. How does praying in tongues relate to mortification? We'll define mortification in just a moment. For those of you that are watching that don't know what exactly he's talking about when he's saying mortification,